All right. So this study that we're going to look at is going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 to 50, around 52. It's a story that it's probably well known. It's the story of David and Goliath. That was one of my favorites growing up. Just what the story goes through and what David has to overcome and everything. I know it's one of my son's favorite story as well. He always enjoys when I read him this story or ask him, what do you want me to read to you? He's like, he always, David and Goliath. I don't know, something about us being boys, men, when you read something like that, it captures you. So we saw how David was able to face his giants, and hopefully this study will help us face our giants into what we go through. So a little recap before we start, since we're going to start in 32. Before we get to that point, God was not very happy with Saul. Saul was not obeying the instructions that God had told him. So God told Samuel, you know what? I'm going to have a new king for my people. So he said, I need you to go talk to go to Bethlehem, talk to Jesse, and one of his sons is going to be the new king of my people, the new king of Israel. So Samuel went, he talked to Jesse. Before that, Samuel's like, well, how will I know? How will I know which one's the new king? I'll just go and I'll let you know. So he goes, talks to Jesse, and I need you to bring all your sons, and I would need to talk to him, see which one's going to be the new king. So the first one comes. Samuel looks at him. He says, wow, he's handsome. He's tall. He's well-built. Surely this is the one. And God tells him, no, that's not him. So one by one come, and no, not the one, not the one, not the one. Till they get to the last one, and not the one. And Samuel's like, well, do you have another son? What's going on? And they said, yeah, well, he's the youngest. It's David. He's out there taking care of the sheep. We don't have to. No, bring him. I want to talk to him. And when Samuel saw him, the Lord told him, this is the one. You can anoint him as the next king. So Samuel did, anointing David, and then he leaves. And so what does David do? Well, he doesn't know. So he goes back and tenders the sheep. Goes back to his sheep. Couple years pass by, a couple time pass by, and the Israelites and the Philistines are engaging in a war. So Jesse's oldest sons, they go out to the war with Saul, and Jesse tells David, you know what, take some food to your brothers, go take it to them, and go see how they're doing. So he does, he listens, he obeys, he goes, takes the food to his brothers, and he gets there, and of course, you know, the older brothers look at David like, oh, what are you doing here, David? You got tired of taking care of your sheep? What are you doing here? You decided to come with the big boys? And while they're talking and this and that, and he hears Goliath out in the background taunting them like, come out here, come face me, come fight. If one of your men could beat me, we'll be your slaves. But if I beat him, you guys will be our slaves. And David's like, what? What's going on? Who is this guy? Why is he talking like this? And so we'll see. And this is where it picks up. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, it says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goat, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal the lamb from the flock, I go after it with the club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. The animals turn on me. I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead. he said, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in this, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off. He picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them into his shepherd bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistines. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bared ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruby-faced baby. Boy. And it says, am I a dog? He roared at David, that you come at me with a stick. And he cursed David by the name of his God. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistines, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled there will know that the Lord rescued his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd bag and took out a stone, he hurled it in with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down onto the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. All right. And so, yeah. What a story, right? Who would have known the Bible would be so graphic like that, you know? It's pretty awesome. So we see that. So now, what is a giant, you know? What's a giant to us? You know, giants could be many different things. A giant is something that will seem to be an insurmountable problem, an issue, or a difficulty. Something dark that hangs around your life, or some challenge or difficulty you don't see ever being resolved. Or maybe something you're trying to overcome. Let's just say this personal experience, trying to lose some weight, you know? You try to lose weight, but it's hard with all the, you have to meal prep, you have to try to do a little weightlifting, a little running, cardio, you got to get everything in there, so it takes time. And then you realize, you know, oh, wait a minute, I have a family, I have work, I have kids. So it's much easier to say it than to do it. But there, like I said, there are all kinds of giants out there. There's the giant of fear, something that frightens you. It grips you with panic, troubles you, some troubles at home maybe, speaking in front of a congregation. You know, there's everything could bring that fear that could paralyze you. And it could be the smallest thing as well, you know. It could be the smallest thing that you just worry about, but it still grips you with that fear. Or it could be the giant of a personal sin as well, that you fall over and over and over. You might beat it for a week, for a month, and then it shows up, rears its ugly head, stronger than ever, a month later. It could be pride. It could be a problem with drinking. It could be a problem with drugs. It could be anything. It just taunts you day and night. Or it can be an illness, a health issue that that doesn't let you come concentrate. It doesn't let you do anything but just think about it. For our for me and Evelyn, a personal little story on this part of illness, when we found out what was wrong with our son Isaac, that he was having, started off with some pain, just pains in his legs. We're like, okay, he's a kid. He's running around, having fun, probably got hurt. A couple of days later, my leg hurts, my leg hurts, my leg hurts. Got to the point where I can't walk because my leg hurts. He'll sit there and just start crying and crying. We're like, man, what's going on? Until we take him to the doctors. They do a bunch of tests on him, and they still can't figure it out what's wrong with him, what's wrong with him. And they told us it could be many different things that scared us, that really scared us, you know, it put a grip of fear on us. And so it's that giant was there. That giant was there. We started praying to God. We asked for a prayer with the pastor, asked for a prayer with the congregation, to the point where, you know, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to help him. And finally, they diagnosed him, and we got the proper tools and proper medicine to help him. So we're thankful for that. And that fear, that giant, so far to this point is being slain. And we're thankful for that. We're grateful for God, and we just pray that he continues to help him. Or a giant can also be something small, like a test at school, what to wear at school, what to wear for school, and maybe how I'm going to finish a project that I got going on at school, at work, etc. Something small, you know, something that for some people be like, hey, what are you worrying about that? But for that person, that's his giant. That is his problem. That's his issue that he needs to resolve, and that he doesn't know how. He doesn't have the capability of trying to overcome that. So each giant is different for every person out there. So every person has a giant out there. So from the passage we read, I'm just going to break it down into four parts or four pieces. So the first one is, we all have giants. As we can see, that's in our personal lives. We all are dealing with something. We all have problems. We all have circumstances. Everyone has a giant. But every giant is defeatable. We got to remember that. Whatever we're dealing with, it's not, I don't want to say, it's not the end of the world. It's not, it's something that we could overcome. We have to remember, giants always start off small and turn big. Just like an instance, we could take Goliath. Goliath was, he didn't start off as a giant. Goliath was a baby at first. Then he turned into a toddler, then a teen, and then a full-grown giant. We have to remember that. That's how it starts. We have to remember that our troubles or our giants don't start off big. They are always small and turn into a giant if we don't take care of them. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your lives are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out of that you can endure. So we always have to remember that. So that's part one. So part two, David knew the battle belonged to the Lord. So that's what we have to remember. The battles we're dealing with, they're not our own. They're God's. So let's give it to him. So in Ephesians 6:10, talks about wearing the whole armor of God. It's a spiritual battle we're dealing with. We need to put on all God's armor so we can stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Because we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers, mighty powers in the dark world, and evil spirits in heavenly places. We have to remember that yes, it may feel that it's physical. Yes, we're feeling the pain. Yes, we're going through it, but it's a spiritual battle that we're dealing with. We have all that we need to overcome it and the Word of God. We have to learn, we have to lean on God's strength, His Word. And if we're fighting in a spiritual battle, we have to fight with spiritual things. We have to be in prayer and in God's Word. That would help us overcome. And we need to take a look at God's greatness. We have such a big God and such a small giant. We always have to remember that. Our God is always bigger than our problems. If we think that our problems are bigger than our God, then we're never going to overcome it. But we have to remember who God is, that He is greater than, that lives in us, that He who is out there. We need to remember that. So we saw that in verse 47, is where it says, "And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescued His people, but not with sword or spears. This is the Lord's battle, and He will give it to us." This is the Lord's battle. He will have us victorious. He will see us through it. Now, part three is we need to attack our giants. We need to get in the offensive. In verse 48, it says, "As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him." Notice, David ran out there. He ran. He didn't nonchalant walk out there. He didn't take his time, strapped on his sandal, brushed off his rocks, his stones, his staff. No, he ran out there to meet him. And that's the way we need to confront our giants as well. We need to run head first, not run away from them. We need to bring it to the light of day and deal with them. We need to face it face on, no matter how hard it's going to be. Because sooner or later, whatever it might be, it's going to rear its ugly head anyway. We might as well confront it. We might as well take care of it now. The faster we do it, the faster we get to heal. The faster we, from that healing, we grow spiritually, physically, and it just becomes better. And part number four. Well, it seems like I'm going real fast. So much for the hour and a half. So part number four is finishing off the giant. In verse 51, we see that David used a sling to finish Goliath. Goliath fell face first to the ground. But David took it a step further. This is, you know, as a kid and us hearing this, is like, wow, that really happened? What did he do? He didn't have a sword on him. So what did he end up doing? He ran towards Goliath. He took his own sword. How, wow, you know, that's, I'm just picturing in my mind, that could be a perfect movie, you know, just seeing this little person running to this 9-foot-6-inch guy on the floor, doesn't have a sword, looking around, pulling it out, and cutting his head off. How crazy is that? How powerful is that? And that's how you kill a giant. You have to cut his head off. You deal with your issue, you deal with your problem, your giant. And for instance, let's say, this is an example, if you have an alcohol problem, an alcohol addiction, yes, you pour the alcohol down the drain. And let's say also if you have a drug problem, you throw it away, you get rid of it. You don't go out there, oh, I need a, this cost me a lot of money, let me just, last time. You don't do that, no. You throw it away. You don't try to resell it, try to be a good steward and resell it and get your money back. No, you don't do that. You just get rid of it. And one of the hardest part of dealing with this too, you might have to change your friends. Because the people you hang around with will try to bring you back to doing whatever that is that you're doing. If you're and doing drugs, they're going to try to pull you back into that. And if it's drinking, and it's not just alcohol and drugs, it could be anything. It could be gambling, shopping, anything, any problem out there. If you hang around with the wrong person, no. There is nothing wrong with shopping if you keep it under control. For you ladies. Well, and for the guys too, you know, you sometimes put sports before anything else. I got gambling out there. So everything to a certain extent, you know, could be a giant, could be something that's holding you back. Like I said, and your friends, unfortunately, so your so-called friends, they see a change in you, they see a difference in you, and I don't know if it's because they want what you have, that they're trying to pull you back, or just, you know, the what they say, misery loves company. We're going to have to change our friends and hang around with new friends, you know, believers in Christ, somebody that's, you can say that it's more advancing you in your Christian walk. That way they could rub all that stuff, they could rub off on you. You could become stronger. You could become better in the walk with God. So like I said, your friends hold you back sometimes. And we have to remember also that God has the solution for every type of giant out there. No matter what you're going through, no matter what it is, health issues, alcohol problems, drug problems, work problems, problems at home, whatever it might be, God is the solution. He has the solution for you. He will see you through it. He will take you out of that. And got to the end. And to finish, I'll leave you with Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. It says, He canceled the records of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarms the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. Jesus' victory is our victory because we are in Christ, and because Jesus defeated Satan at the cross, we share in the victory that Jesus overcame. Thank you, guys. Just close out with prayer, and dang, I didn't reach the goal, but this is the message the Lord brought to my heart, and for you guys, hopefully, it was able to help you guys. Or I know the Word of God doesn't come back void, so that's what the Lord placed in my heart. And thank you very much for your time, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we come before you, just giving you thanks, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity you give me, Lord, and for just sharing your Word to my brothers and sisters, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you can help us overcome our giants, Lord, that you can be with us, give us strength, give us assurance, Lord, that you could see us through it, that we could overcome, Lord, and that we will become stronger. We will become the person that you intended us to be, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you can be with my brothers and sisters, Lord, throughout their days, Lord, throughout whatever they may be going through, Lord. We just put it in your hands, Lord. So thankful that you give us an opportunity to come to your house of worship, Lord, and just come to seek you, come to seek your face, Lord. Just be with us during the week, Lord. Be with the pastor, the time he's having with his family, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.